Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. Today, Julie Fudge-Smith and I are going to be talking about how to tell if a dog is really friendly or just kind of crazy and overexcited. So that's going to be our topic for the day. But first, we're going to start with an update from episode 28, where we talked about a woman who was uncomfortable using her backyard because the neighbor's dogs were sort of scary to her. So, Julie, can you share the email you received?
Yes, I will. I got this from Hannah, and she said, "Thank you so much for answering my question in one of your podcasts. It was very helpful to hear your response, and I am happy to report that the situation has greatly improved. We ended up talking to the owner and had our dogs meet with the fence in between them. The big dogs ended up being very welcoming, and now they are comfortable with Kateri's presence. They just give a very scary first impression. I still would not feel comfortable having them all play in the same yard, but I am relieved to feel safer on my own property. Thank you for a response that was so wonderful of you." And then she went on to say she had her baby. Remember, she had mentioned that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that Kateri has gone very well with the baby. And then she says, "The book you sent me has really helped me be aware of her reactions. Well, that book is Colleen's Living with Kids and Dogs." So we have mentioned your book on several occasions, and I just wanted to sort of give this independent collaboration that it's such a wonderful book, and it really is very useful for new parents. So there
you go.
Well,
I'm always so happy to hear when parents find something of value in it. That makes me very happy. And just in the last week or so, I have updated the Living with Kids and Dogs website. So it has been reformatted all the way through. So if anyone wants to go check that out, let me know. If you find any typos, let me know those too.
Well, we will put a link to it in the show notes this
time.
We will. So, all right. So getting back to our original topic, what's the difference between friendly and over-the-top arousal or excitement? Oftentimes, I think people make the mistake when they see a dog who is just awfully busy and excited. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at how friendly he is. That's
yes.
Not the vibe I'm getting.
Yes.
What would you say
and
to me?
It's really frustrating, isn't it, when you're the one meeting the dog and the dog is just, like, leaping at you and,
yes.
You know, nudging into your space and all busy and, and they're like, "Oh, he's so friendly," and you're like, "I think I'm being assaulted." I'm not really feeling like that was, you know, let's be friends.
No, I agree. And the worst one for me, and the thing that really clues me into that this is not a quote unquote friendly dog, is when they do what Sue Sternberg calls the pounce off, where. Mm-hmm. One of the things I look for from a truly friendly dog is they're going to come up into your space and they're going to sort of lean into you and want to stay with you
yes.
for 2 or 3 seconds. The pounce mm-hmm. off is the dog comes up and sort of the paws come up and hit you in the chest and bounce off as if you were a rebound board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not friendly. That just
yes.
makes me very uncomfortable and actually really annoys me. I find
yes.
myself end up being like, kind of like, stop it. That's just really kind of annoying mm-hmm. and rude and I don't like it. And the other thing, as I would say about dogs who are friendly, is there can be very friendly dogs who just lose it, and I get
oh,
that.
Oh, sure.
But that's
sure.
Yes, I had even one really friendly dog who broke my glasses just because he so wanted to kiss my face, and yes, he was probably hyper-aroused, but he was also extraordinarily friendly. So what would
but
you
those
say?
Are sort of two different elements.
Yes.
So you could be hyper-aroused and friendly or hyper-aroused and not friendly. But in either case, the issue is that hyper-arousal.
Absolutely.
And that then becomes the family's responsibility to deal with so that the friendly dog interacts in an appropriate way. And the less friendly dog is not putting him or herself into situations that are uncomfortable. But what happens, particularly with the friendly dogs, is the families do nothing. Because
right.
they're like, oh, he's a really great dog. So sure, I'm going to let him maul all my friends because he's so friendly. And your friends don't agree in that moment, which doesn't mean your dog isn't friendly. It just means that's a bad moment And I talk to people about that a lot, like good moments and bad moments. We all have good moments and bad moments. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday I was having somebody said, how's it going? I said, I'm having a behavior deteriorates under stress moment because I just felt like everything was coming at me and I was getting sort of frazzled and cranky. And I'm like, I can totally see this is happening. Everything's fine, but I'm just too much. And that's the same thing that's happening with these dogs is they just get themselves spun a little bit too much and they have a bad moment.
Right. Right. And so I'm not quite as worried about the friendly dogs who are hyper aroused
mm-hmm.
as I am about the dogs who are not genuinely friendly, but are hyper aroused mm-hmm. and people mistake that for friendliness.
Yes.
And that's where you can come up with a situation that can become very quickly, very uncomfortable, and perhaps, I don't want to use, not really dangerous, but could deteriorate rapidly into a situation that becomes not just uncomfortable, but scary for people.
Right. And frequently what will happen with a dog is that they really want to investigate. So they come up close and they do a lot of sniffing. And I worked with a German Shepherd who was really prone to this. She was so nosy, not friendly, but nosy, both literally and in the sense of intrusive. And she would come really close and start sniffing. And then she would look up and then realize, hey, you're too close to me, and bark at people right in their face, just rear up and bark at them. But she's the one who came too close. She's the one who closed the distance. And then she went, oh, problem. Because she wasn't really a social dog. She wasn't really comfortable with people. But she did want to investigate. And that once the family was able to identify why she suddenly would go from being so friendly to not so friendly, yeah. I was like, oh. Because she never actually hit the friendly point. We were able to prevent and give her some alternative behaviors. But when dogs are coming in for the checking out, that isn't necessarily about friendliness. That's just, I want to explore my world.
Right. And I think one of the things that I feel like is genuinely different between an aroused dog is there's a lack of focus.
Mm-hmm.
What I will find with a dog who's aroused versus one who's friendly. Someone who's friendly is like, ah! Person. Hi, person. I want to come over. I want to say hi to you. You can scratch my ears if you want. You can scratch my tail. I'm going to lean into you. It's really nice to see you. They want to actually spend time with you. And you have a series of gentle interactions with mm-hmm. the dog who really is genuinely friendly. And if you pet them, they go, oh, that's kind of nice. I kind of like to lean in for more. Mm-hmm. Whereas with an aroused dog, there is absolutely no focus. It's like, oh, you, hi, lean, hit. Bang, I'm off.
Yeah.
So that there's no extended interaction that's gentle mm-hmm. in any way.
Right.
And they may be looking around a lot. They may be excessively sniffing like your German Shepherd did.
Mm-hmm.
They could be, they could actually, if you were to offer them a treat, they should snatch the treat.
Right.
Very hard, be very Sharpie-like in your hand. They might have very wide eyes. Their ears might be up and you know, very erect. And so these are all things to look for that might give you an indication that you're not talking about necessarily a friendly dog, but one who's aroused and who needs something to give it direction and to calm down. It may not necessarily be a dog that you want to try and get real close to. Panting is another one.
Mm-hmm.
They may pant a lot.
Yeah. One of the things I like to tell people to look for is how much side-to-side movement do you see? And then my clients typically have a name for it. A really common one is wiggle butt or happy butt. They're like, oh, yeah. You mean like when he just can't control himself?
And like, you and I are both wiggling.
Yeah, you're like, yep, that is usually a happy social greeting because there's this whole side-to-side lateral extra movement. And when a dog is just excited and aroused, you don't get that. It's much more forward and frenetic and sort of flinchy. Right. And so there's that problem.
So Colleen, when you were talking about the lateral movement in these dogs, the wiggly butt, I reminded me of when I'm talking to owners about play and versus a dog sort of hunkering down and thinking I'm going to go after prey, right? There's a difference between play and prey. And in play, the movements of most dogs are very large, they're very loose, and they're very lateral. And a friendly dog is going to come at you with big movements, and my body's all loose, and I'm all wiggly, and I'm kind of moving back and forth. And it's also, too, it can be self-regulating. So that dog's going to lean in for a pet and go, take a break, get a pet. And then repetitive, which is another part of play, I'm going to get all wiggly and loose and lateral again, and then I'm going to lean in, take a break, get petted, and lean back out. So I think that greeting another dog or greeting another person can look very similar to appropriate play.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, when you're talking about a dog that's sort of hunkering down and got its sights on a rabbit, they tend to be very tight and very linear and very focused. Although with hyper-aroused dogs, they tend to be highly unfocused, but they also do tend to be very stiff. I think you mentioned they're almost like they're vibrating with energy.
Yeah.
You know, they're tense, their body's tense, and they're vibrating, and they're very linear, and they dart in, and they punch off, and they go back. So they can't focus on anything. They're also not self-regulating. They're not stopping and reassessing. And so I think that if you think of it in those terms of this is a dog who is unfocused, tight, linear, stiff, and vibrating, that does not say friendly to me. That says arousal to me and is a dog who can easily spill out of control if the situation isn't brought under control. And one of the ways that you can, and I think one of the things you can tell about a dog that may be uncomfortable or may be aroused by another dog is how they greet another dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like last night I had Zuzu meeting a client's dog, and this when I'm explaining this to kids, I always say, well, they get first names and last names from one another. And Zuzu was going in to get this little dog's last name, and the dog went, no, and rolled around. And Zuzu went, oh, okay, fine, whatever. And then a little while later, she tried again, and the dog whirled around again, because she just did not want Zuzu sniffing at her rear end. And the owner said, well, we can just hold her, and Zuzu can go in and sniff. And I said, no. I think it's really important for the dog to have a say that I'm not comfortable with this. And mm-hmm. Zuzu was great. She just turned her head to calm the other dog. She looked away, and she just walked away, kind of saying, okay, you're a bit of a social nerd, but whatever. And eventually, the dogs did allow each other to sniff. But it was allowing that little hyper dog, or the scared dog, to have some say in how they meet. So I think that you need to be aware of a hyper-aroused dog might be very reactive, you know, just spin around.
They're not making as good of choices as they would make when they were feeling more comfortable.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons why it's so important to give them choices, but to prevent poor choices. So,
right.
You know, we do want the dog to have some control over her environment, and which in this case she did, because she was able to tell Zuzu, don't like you, and Zuzu was able to go, okay, got it. But we also want to prevent the dog from making poor choices. So if, for example, I'm standing in your doorway and your dog is launching itself off of me repeatedly, that would be a moment that we would want to intervene. And so that the dog isn't repeatedly making a decision that isn't good for the dog.
Right.
Or for me. Thank
right.
you. But definitely not good for the dog. And that's an arousal thing. So recognizing that we don't make our best choices when we're stressed.
Right.
And arousal is stress. It just is.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that an owner can do if they know that their dog is aroused when people come to the door is make sure the dog's on a leash
mm-hmm.
so that you can control his access and maybe control his behavior and feed him a few treats when somebody mm-hmm. comes through the door, so that we're now focused more on having a little snack than I am on pouncing off of Colleen, who looks like a wonderful backboard. I mean, I'm not a rebound board. I'm not a backboard to a basketball court, and I don't want to be treated as such.
Yeah. I always think of the single wall at tennis courts.
Yes.
When I'm being launched off of by a dog, I'm like, okay, I'm just a giant green wall with a stripe across it. And you're boing, boing. Thank you.
That's right.
How many points are you getting there?
The other thing you can do too, that which kind of goes with what I was doing with Zuzu and this other little dog, is what I call the 3-second rule.
Mm-hmm.
And so when dogs meet, especially if your dog tends to be aroused, is you can go up and allow the dogs to sniff for the count of 1,000, 2,000, 3. And at 3, you break it up and you move along. And what you can do is you can tell owners that you are approaching saying, hey, my dog is kind of excited with other dogs, so we're just going to make this a quick little greeting, and they're going to be just fine with that. And I have found that that works really well, whether you have one aroused dog or whether you have two. It's also great if you are approaching another dog who's aroused, because then they begin to learn how to interact appropriately with another dog. But yes, if you know that your dog can't even make it to three, that it's 1/1000 and we're off, then don't try this. You're just setting yourself and your dog up to fail. And instead, what I would probably do is cross the street, and we can watch the other dog walk by while we eat turkey.
Turkey's good.
So that way your dog learns, the approach of another dog is not something that I have to lose my head over.
And your 3-second rule and the crossing the street, those are both, they're both excellent techniques that decrease arousal. So the end goal in both cases is to make the dog feel more comfortable and less stressed.
Right.
In one case, we're just having a quick greeting, staying within your comfort zone. Life is good. No big deal. And you're done. Yay. And the other, we're like, you don't have to deal with that. Life is fine. And good things happen to dogs over here. While we watch scary dogs pass on the other side of the street, we don't need to worry about them because turkey's involved. Yes. So the arousal piece, I think what happens to so many of us is that we see our dogs in their very best light because we know how amazing they are.
Right.
And so we love our dogs, and everything we do, everything they do, we perceive from their very best self. So they're often sweet, gentle, and kind. And in this moment, they're being, you know, pushy and rude and crazy. And we're like, well, he's just so happy. No, he's having a bad moment. Again, bad moment. But that doesn't mean it's not a great dog. So if we can be a little bit more objective about behavior, we can actually help our dogs be more successful and more comfortable in these situations, because nobody who's in any sort of hyper aroused state is happy.
Right.
They're just not.
Right. And if you have a hyper aroused / friendly dog, then a lot of it is just helping him learn some impulse control.
Right.
And helping him learn, oh, I can be with people and be under control. And so that's great. If you, however, you have a dog that is the hyper aroused unfriendly dog, that's going to require some other management skills as well. And it's going to require that you allow this dog who may not be friendly to feel safe, as you were mentioning. Yes. It's all about being, you know, feeling safe and comfortable. So I think it's also important to try and be, as you said, be a little more objective about who your dog really is. Is this aroused and friendly, or is this aroused and not so friendly? Because it's going to be a little bit different in how you manage that dog.
Right. And I just want to clarify here one little word choice, because unfriendly has some negative connotations. We could look at this more as aloof or introverted, you know, like you could have a fantastic dog who adores you and thinks that the rest of us could fall off the planet. And that's still a great dog. You know,
yes,
that dog doesn't need to interact with everyone in the world to be an amazing dog. So when we're talking about friendliness, we're talking about unfamiliar people. Does your dog go, yay, strangers? Or does your dog go, oh, strangers? There are terrific dogs who are less social with unfamiliar people.
Yes, absolutely. And I didn't mean anything derogatory there at all. I had one of those dogs. Bingley was like that.
I knew you didn't mean anything. I just want to make sure everybody knew that we get that. Because
yes, we do.
And introverts of the world, unite.
That's right. It's perfectly fine to be introverted. It's perfectly fine to be, because Bingley was comfortable with strangers. He just wasn't interested in getting to know all of them on an intimate basis, especially when we were out, because, you know, we're on a walk and this is what we do.
It's my sniffing time.
That's right. Whereas if
not
you can't,
my stranger time.
That's right. Strangers come to the house and that's fine. So, I mean, it can be in different situations. Bingley would act differently. When we were out walking,
absolutely,
he was much more aloof to strangers. If they came to the house, it's like, well, they must be here for a purpose, and I should run over and say hello to them.
Mm-hmm.
So your dog can have different reactions in different situations as well, and to be aware of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That will help you to manage him more effectively. And the more effectively you manage him, the more he's going to learn what is and is not appropriate behavior as well.
Right. So right. So if we just sort of wind back around and sort of recap for people, your dog is amazing just as it is. Start mm-hmm. there. And then in their best circumstances, in their truly happy, joyful moments, they're going to have large, loose, lateral behavior. They're going mm-hmm. to look like cartoon dogs. They're going to be like, hey, this is great. And we should see that real loose, flowing kind of energy as opposed to vibration.
Right.
So that's the piece to be watching for. Like, are you really – do you think your dog is flowing or do you think your dog is vibrating? If we summed up just into two words, those would probably be the two. I don't know that I have a better one than flowing, because I think that's kind of – do you have a better one?
Fluid.
Fluid. Okay, liquid dogs.
No, I think flowing or fluid or just there's a certain sort of comfort in the movement.
Yeah.
There's a certain easiness. There's mm-hmm. I think the idea of vibrating is just a really good way to determine it. We do have a poster from vetbehavior.com that we can post on the website or link to it about hyperarousal that shows some different things that have to do with hyperarousal. So we will send the link to that.
Yes, we will put a link. And just to clarify there, that is vetbehaviorteam.com. But we will put a link in the show notes if anyone wants to go hunt for that. Okay. Yeah, so those are and they're the Lily Chin artwork, and Lily Chin is an amazing artist.
Oh,
she does
absolutely.
A really good job of drawing dog body language, which you would be amazed how difficult it is for many folks to draw. But she can convey the emotions in a way that people can really see them. She's terrific.
She is terrific.
We'll put a link to hers in there too.
I think that's a great idea, because Lily Chin has a lot of wonderful things on her website and that are free for downloading.
Yes.
Yes. So she's great.
Indeed. So so that's sort of the gist of today, is to really recognize when your dog is in their best moments and when they're feeling a little stressed or definitely in hyperarousal kind of crazy mind.
And if you're in doubt at all, one of the best things you can do is just put your dog on a leash with mm-hmm. you, whether you're inside the house or not, because that's going to give him a cue. Oh, I'm connected to my person. You're going to be able to control whether he can pounce off of Colleen or tennis ball wall, or, you know, and we're also, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to redirect him back to you to reward for that calm behavior. So,
yes.
In this case, a leash can be a really wonderful management tool.
It can indeed.
All right. Well, thanks, Colleen. I think that wraps this one up, and, I will see you next week.
Okay. See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.
Hey, if you enjoyed the show, could you do us a quick favor? Head over to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. That will help other families find quick and easy tips for enjoying life with their dogs. Thanks!